Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Pleasure.
So on both an international and national scale, what is the significance of Cricket Australia's decision to allow gender-diverse players to play the sport from a community and elite level?
Well, the first thing to recognise is that, in one sense, Cricket Australia is following an existing policy from the International Cricket Council, who in 2017 developed their transgender and gender-diverse policy, but that was specifically aimed at international competition. So this one is focused on both levels of competition, and it's really for the Australian context. Just by way of where the policy is influenced, it's largely from the International Olympic Committee, who had their first policy back in 2003. So this is not brand new. It's been around for about 16 years. But in terms of Australian sport organisations developing their own policy for their own sports, this is indeed new.
Do you think we'll see other sports following the same lead that Cricket Australia has taken?
Yeah, well, the AFL last year introduced its transgender and gender diverse policy. So the two of the biggest sports have already done this. I understand that the National Rugby League is close to doing the same thing very soon. And probably the biggest sports is where we're going to see these kinds of policy developments. They're better resourced in terms of being able to create policy, to canvass their members. I mean, Cricket Australia spent something like a year discussing their policy with a whole range of stakeholders within cricket and more broadly with organisations like the Australian Human Rights Commission. So it wouldn't be an easy task for some of the smaller sports, which only have a handful of staff, but there are some guidelines, though, they can draw upon, and that is both Sport Australia and the Australian Human Rights Commission this year released guidelines for transgender and gender diverse athletes and sporting for sporting organisations. Now, once again, these are only guidelines, but they provide sports with good information by which to make sense of including people who are a little bit different to the norm.
Mm. And what are some of the benefits of such a decision to improve diversity in sports for players and for local communities?
Yeah, well, transgender and gender diverse people have, in broader society, faced some challenges, because they're bad people or anything like that. They struggled with social acceptance. So when you have a situation where sport is making an explicit effort to say, well, we recognise you, in fact, we want to welcome you into our sport, imagine how that then resonates to young people who perhaps previously thought that sport wasn't a place in which they'd feel welcome. So from a kind of a mental health perspective, this has got to be great for the transgender and gender diverse community. But I think it also helps cricket clubs to develop their own know-how around this, because there's a lot of people who actually have goodwill in this space, but are unfamiliar with, say, the transgender community and how to bring them into sport. So I think this is part of a learning curve for everybody, but a great opportunity as well.
And looking back at the guidelines that you mentioned before, what are the legal frameworks that surround and monitor these new guidelines?
Okay, so every state has anti-discrimination laws, and I'm not a lawyer. I can just speak to this particular one, which essentially means that there are provisions within anti-discrimination law for strength, speed, and physique. And so what that means is that it's legitimate to have separate male and female competitions in sport on the basis of physical differences. But you won't have those sorts of separations in, say, an office environment where men and women are not separated. They can do the same thing. So physical differences are important, But what the policy also recognises, and this goes right back to the IOC, is that certainly at the elite level, there's a physical transition requirement. At this stage, it's for male to female athletes reducing their testosterone levels to 10 nanomoles per litre in serum. But that policy is organic, and my expectation is that probably is going to change to probably 5 nanomoles. The point being that Cricket Australia will follow what the international guidelines are, but it'll also be guided as well by what provisions are in Australian law around anti-discrimination.
Daryl, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning.
Oh, great pleasure. Thank you.